Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, this is Mac, and you're listening to Mac's Musings. Tonight's guest is Daniel Death Star Page, a very talented musician. And we'll be talking to
Hello?
Hello, Daniel, this is Mac. How are you?
I'm doing good, and you?
Oh, I'm doing good, thank you. What's the weather like over there in Cumberland, Maryland?
It's a little chilly. I think it's about 50 right now.
About the same here. Were you always interested in music? Did it start at an early age?
Yeah, when I was 16, I used to like walk down the street and freestyle to myself, and I always said like music was just like a great interest for me.
So how did you get started doing professional things?
Well, once I got the funds and everything, the money to get the equipment, I went and I got me a Miko. It's like a unit. It's a piano with beat pads and EQers and all that stuff already like all in one. So when I knew that I really wanted to do music, I bought that unit and then start learning engineering and everything, like all the physics and everything.
Cool. Did you go to school or anything, or you just taught yourself?
No, I taught myself. Like, a lot of people around me, they were doing the same thing. So, basically, we was teaching each other. It was like a chemistry thing.
Have you always lived in Maryland?
Yes, I lived in Maryland. Well, I was born here, but then... I say it's about, maybe it was 6 or 7 years ago when my mom passed and everything. I moved to South Carolina with my brother and started working construction for Gibraltar. It's this construction company. And then I started jumping around, moving out. Then I was in Pennsylvania, Pittsburgh, and then back to Maryland. And then I got this job, and then I was working in Michigan. So basically, it was like once I traveled once, I just kept traveling and trying to figure out this, better things.
Trying to find out what you wanted to do with your life.
Yeah. And what's so crazy about it, everything I did from construction to all the stuff I did, it always came back to music. It was like, I'm working construction to get the money to do my music. You know what I mean? Like, everything I did, like, anything I did when I worked in Michigan, like, I would save all my money up just to get a laptop just so I can store my music on there and be able to, like, do what I needed to do while I'm on the road.
Well, that's when you know that you really, really have a passion for something. If you do a job get the money to do that.
Yeah, my brother
ahead.
Used to say that because, my brother used to say that to me because this job I worked construction, I was a carpenter. It was not a hard job. It was just tedious. And I always used to come to work and I'd be like, man, I don't need this. I don't need this job. I don't need to waste my time with this. I just need to just go do my music. My brother would be like, but you need funds for your music. And I'm like, you're right, bro. I need this job.
So are you, and I'm not trying to get too personal, but, you are a guest. So are you making money with your music now, or are you still, like, working on that and working a quote-unquote regular job?
Yeah, right now, at the beginning when I just released my mixtape, I think it was last year, I put some songs on there that my friend of mine produced, So I basically got all the copyrights, and I could get paid off of that. So it was like small increments of pay. But right now, mm-hmm. I just dropped my just released my new single. Just forget what day it was, but it was just like 2 weeks ago, and that one is on all platforms like Spotify, Apple. It just got on Amazon Music. I'm going to be getting some type of royalties. You understand what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah. Cool.
Yeah, because mixtape music, you really don't get paid off of. So it's like more of a just a fun thing, you know what I mean, to really get the feel of it.
Well, sometimes it does take a while to, I mean, if you wanted to do it as a full-time job, it can take a while to get to where you make money.
Yep, and I understand that. So, that's why, like you said, it's my passion, so I know I got to be patient and really appreciate things, and then that's when you really, honestly, get what you need, the resources to all that stuff.
Well, that single of yours, I did listen to it because I try to do as much research as I can for my shows, and I did listen to that, and you have got a lot of talent.
Oh, I appreciate that, definitely. I really do. I really work hard. Like, I even tell, like, my family, friends, and everybody, I always say it, I'm like, you don't really see behind the scenes. You just see what, you know what I mean, what people present. So.
Right.
I really do work hard, and like I really try to do a lot of things to progress and to better myself.
Well, see, the way I look at it, like when I listen to your music or anybody's music, I realize how much work goes into that, and so I consider that when I think about, oh, well, how am I going to rate this if I have to do a rating? So,
yeah, that's how
like for movies. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Oh, no. You go ahead.
Oh, I was, it's really your show, but there's like a little layover in the sound for some reason because Blog Talk Radio sometimes can suck. But all I was going to say is it's kind of like with movies. Some people will go, oh, that movie sucked, but yet they don't really give a good reason. Like, you can not like the movie, but there's usually something you can find that you like in it. And as a semi-professional reviewer of movies, I can tell you that most things will get at least one star from me. I use a 5-star system, and I also use partial stars. I have never given less than 1 star simply because just for the effort, you get a star.
Yeah, you're right about that. That's what I try to tell people. It's the effort and the just trying. That's all. That's the thing, trying.
Right. So transferring that to music, just for the effort, you would get a star. Then because you didn't fumble on any of your words, that's another song. You sing in tune, that's another star. Because not all singers can sing in tune. And what's funny is some of the really famous ones can't sing in tune.
You're right about that.
But, yeah, I give credit where credit is due. And you work really hard, and so you deserve the credit. But that single, the name of it is Tap In, and
yes.
You already talked a little bit about where people can listen to it and everything. But let's say somebody wants – usually I do this at the end of the show, but I kind of wanted to work it in now. And I'm not saying that my show helps people a lot because I have a small audience right now, but it has helped people. I just don't make promises. But if you would tell people how to get in contact with you, like if they wanted to work with you on a movie or something collaborating with music, would they contact you on Facebook?
I have Facebook, I have IG, and I have, hold up, I can give you all my Facebook, my IG, all that, hold up. My IG is DeathStarXO, so it's DeathStarXO. That's my Instagram. That's Instagram, and then my Facebook is Daniel Deathstar Page, D-A-N-I-E-L, Deathstar, D-E-A-T-H-S-T-A-R, and then Page, P-A-I-G-E. And
cool.
Then my YouTube, hold up, I got my YouTube. My YouTube is... My YouTube is DeathStarXO. So basically everything's the same. So you know what I mean. So I don't have to go out the way and try to explain.
Try
the,
to remember thing. A bunch of different names. Yeah.
Yeah. That's why I just try to keep it. Basic.
So may I ask about the Death Star part?
Yeah, it's Star Wars.
I kind of thought that, but I didn't want to assume. And how did it come about that you put that into your name?
See, a buddy of mine, this was like years ago, there was this, a weed strain, and it was like the, like, honestly, when I smoked it or whatever, I just said it was my favorite, so I just put my middle name on Facebook as it, and then, like, ever since, it's like, I just, like, was always stuck to it, and then, like, I start watching Star Wars and all that, and I was like, this is just cool. So I just felt like it was just something cool, something a lot of people can relate to it, like the nerds and stuff like that. I like stuff like that.
Yeah, and there's a lot of non-nerds that like it, too. I mean, I don't consider myself a nerd, but I am a big Star Wars fan, but also
yeah, Star
a Star
Wars
Trek
awesome.
Fan.
Yeah, Star Trek
oh, it
awesome
is
too.
Yeah. Well,
it all has a
and
good
reason why I bring,
to it.
Well, exactly. But the reason why I brought it up is because there's that rivalry between the two in some camps where the ones that like Star Wars, they want to pick a fight with the ones that like Star Trek and vice versa. Like, come on, you can love both. I do.
Yeah, I like both. That's how I am, too. I like both.
Yeah, I don't think if somebody said, well, which one would you choose over the other, I don't think that I could give it an answer.
Honestly, I agree with you on that.
So one thing I wanted to ask, because I know you're a musician and everything, what instrument do you play or instruments?
Honestly, I don't play no instruments, but whenever I try to make maybe a sample or something like that, like a melody, I would use, I can play, I'm not the best with it, but I can play the piano.
Well, there's nothing wrong with not actually playing an instrument, like, a lot, especially
yeah,
if you're a singer. Go ahead.
Yeah, but I always wanted to learn, like, the guitar, but I was just going, like, me, I feel like everything, it takes time, so when you know it's the right time, you know, whenever you get to experience that, that moment.
Well, yeah, it all takes time, and piano, it takes a long time to learn how to play that really well, unless you just happen to be really musically inclined and be able to pick things up quickly. And I do have a friend like that. He's got what he calls an amazing one-man band. And basically what it is, yeah, he plays lots of instruments, and because sometimes he'll even play like at the same time,
just like what you might see in cartoons and stuff, only he's really doing it. He'll be playing a mouth harp, and at the same time, he'll be strumming on something, and whether it be a guitar or fiddle or whatever, and then he'll be pounding on the drums with his foot. And he's
that's real multitasking.
Yeah. And he also sings, but not while he's playing his mouth harp, but he sings. And he's just a very, very talented 40 years. And, you know, that's actually how long I've known him, over 40 years. And he still makes a, you know, good chunk of change for doing his shows. Well, because he's got, you know, that gimmick that brings people in. Oh, amazing one-man band. They got to see what that's all about. And then they see him, yeah, and then people follow him. People have gone to from state to state because he's from my state, Ohio, but he's gone to lots of other states to play. He's been to Michigan and Kentucky and Illinois and, you know, you name a state that's somewhere around Ohio, yeah, he's been there.
That's what I'm saying. The more states that you get to go, that's letting you know that that you're doing something right.
Oh, yeah. Well, because he has a lot of word of mouth, and that's one reason why I wanted to kind of get that stuff in early of how people could contact you. Because after they listen to your music, you never know, somebody might want to. And sometimes it's just hard to get out there when people don't know about you, they don't know about your songs or where they can hear them. It's another thing when you're already famous. Like I have, and I'm not saying this to brag about myself, I'm just saying that I have some famous friends and family members too, but you know, they're already famous. So if they go to do something sometime, like say they go to sing, but they're an actor, but they are a good singer, but they've never done it before. Well, they've already got like a partially built-in audience because they've already got a fan base.
Yeah, they got a leeway. I know what you mean.
Yeah, not too many people have that. So that's why you got to work it. And, like what Jason, our mutual friend, Jason Delzell, although you've known him a lot longer than me because I think you've known him like pretty much your whole life.
Yeah, I've known him since we were kids. Yeah, he knows my mom. He knows my family. He's like family.
No.
That's definitely like my – he's like a brother, definitely.
Aw. Yeah, he says, well, you know, you got to network. And that's true. You have to network if you want to get anywhere. And that's the main reason why I do this show, because somebody had mentioned it to me a while back, a filmmaker friend. And he said, well, you know, you got all these people in your family and friends that do movies. Why don't you do a podcast? And I was like, I don't even really like to talk, let alone talk live on the radio. But then I thought, well, you know what, to help out my friends, yeah. So that's basically what it's for. I've just been helping out my friends and help them to promote whatever they have going on. Like in your case, your tap in on the
TV. Yeah, my new single.
Listen
Thank
to.
You.
Yeah, and you are very talented. And I'm not saying that just because you're a guest.
No.
I don't.
I understand what you're saying.
Yeah,
what you said earlier.
Yeah. Well, see, the way I am, I'm honest. I try not to be brutally honest. But, like, if I didn't like your music, I wouldn't say, hey, I don't like your music. Because, like what we were talking about earlier, there would be some components of it that I like, even if I don't necessarily like that particular song. And sometimes that's all it is just the song that maybe it's the song that I don't like and, you know, other stuff that I do.
because there are, and that's true really of anything, like with actors. Okay, I'm just going to like throw a name out there. Okay, I like Mel Gibson, and he's a great actor. I mean, you know, in my opinion. But I don't like every movie he's been in.
You're
so you
right,
get
though.
What I'm saying,
he gotta
right?
Play his role. He got to play his role. You're right.
Yeah. And he's, I mean, he always does a good job as an actor, but I don't like all of the movies. And the same thing with any actor or singer. Yeah, there are lots of songs of theirs that I like, and there's some that I don't. That's just the way it is. Nobody's going to like 100% of what you do, ever.
You're right about that.
Yeah.
Constructive
criticism
is the best thing in music.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, exactly. But you've got a really good start there with that, and I'm sure that that'll bring you in, you know, something. Oh, and speaking of Jason Dalzell, because I did want to bring this up, so it kind of works into what we were saying. So now he's a filmmaker, and he did a movie called Hobo Saves the World, like last year, and you did composing for that movie. It's a short, but that's still a movie. So tell us about doing that and how it came about and how much you enjoyed it or didn't enjoy it, but I would think that you enjoyed it. So tell us about that.
Oh, yeah, I love the experience. I remember he told me he was making a movie, and I told him, I said, I could either play in a movie or I could do, like, a music part or something. He was like, either way, it'll work for me. So I was like, all right. And then I remember I let him hear the song, the original song, and he was like, I like it, but we just need to put a little twist on it. So basically I got his intake, and then I put what he told me, and then what I used my music theory on everything, put everything together, and then there's like just like a little chat room. But like I guess it's for like their little group or whatever, and I sent it there, and like everybody was like, I really like this song because I remade it, I fixed everything and did all the stuff. And he was like, I really like this song, we're putting this in the movie, and I was like, that's awesome. And then I remember Drew messaged me and was like, what do you want? For the music, like, where you want it at? Do you want it on a party scene? You want it on all this? And I was like, yeah, just do it on a party scene. And then, y'all can figure out everything from there. And then when I watched the movie, honestly, I liked exactly how they put it, and I was happy with everything.
Wasn't that, like, really cool to hear your music in a movie?
It definitely was awesome. What's so crazy about it was, like, I watched the movie, and then I was like, let me go back and watch the movie where my part was, where the song was on. I was like, I was very, very happy, very ecstatic.
Oh, good, good. Do you plan on working with him again?
Oh, yes. I told Jason, I told him that I wanted to do another single, but in my mind, I'm thinking I'm just going to work on a video, and I'm going to work on it with Drew and Jason.
Well, tell us about that new video that you're working on.
That's what I'm saying. I didn't get to get everything together. I really never even got to talk to Jason about it, but he always, like, messages me randomly. I'm like, I got this spot. We can do this here. We can do this here. You can come here. I can come there. So, basically, I'm just going to get everything in position, and then I'm going to figure everything out. But I haven't even did the song yet. It's just, like, I don't know what it is in my mind. It's like I think of things, and then I know how to put it together, so I just wait and be patient.
Mm. Yeah. And sorry about the sound, because Blog Talk Radio is doing like a echo. I don't know why.
I'm about to say I can hear. Oh, I can hear on the I don't know what it's called, but yeah, I can hear the echo in the background when I talk.
Yeah, it's Blog Talk Radio, obviously, because my phone isn't like that, and actually it wouldn't be my phone anyway, because I have to call Blog Talk Radio, and then Blog Talk Radio calls you, so it's all done through Blog Talk Radio, so it would be coming from them anyway.
So they're the ones who basically, they preset everything.
Well, yeah, it's just one of those things that, because it's the internet, but you as the guest wouldn't have to even really have access to the internet, simply because Blog Talk Radio calls you, and that automatically brings you in because I called them. So you're coming in on the internet through my phone call.
Okay.
Yeah, because it's all over the internet, but that's why it, because I've had to explain that to people before, because they said, like one person said, well, I didn't know it was you because I'm trying to call them and I'm on the air and they won't answer the phone. And so then I explained it to them even on the air, well, because we were on the air. And I said, well, look, you know, when I call you, it's not really me. It's Blog Talk Radio that's calling you. And I didn't say on the air what I'm going to say now, but I had actually told them that before, but I guess they forgot. Because I try to tell people that, you know, like I told you, it would be Blog Talk Radio's New York number. And I don't even know what number they use, because they use multiple numbers. Because one person, they got really upset because I didn't know what number would call them. And I said, well, I have no way of knowing because they use like 20 or 30 different numbers. So I don't know. All I know is that it's a New York number. That's all I know. But it's Blog Talk Radio that calls them, not me. I mean, yeah, I put the number in, but Blog Talk Radio actually dials it. I don't dial it. So, well, sorry to waste time on that, but.
Oh, no, you're good. I understand what you're saying because you explained that to me earlier.
Yeah, but yeah, you didn't get upset, and you probably wouldn't anyway. But there have been people that got a little bit upset because they didn't realize that it wasn't me, because they expected to see my phone number that I had texted them on when I gave them their 1 hour warning, and they expected the phone call for the show to be the same number, and that's why they didn't answer. And now, a little bit embarrassing. I'm on the air and I'm trying to call these people and they're not answering. So then, and I wouldn't say this to those people because, no, I don't want them to feel bad or anything, but I'm sure if they thought about it, they'd be able to figure out. But what I have to do in those cases, because it's a live show, I have to, you know, stop the show. And then once the recorded version pops up, I have to cancel that out. And then I have to start the thing all over again. And then that creates a new link. And then that one person, they even got mad about that because it was a new link. And I said, well, I explained to you that it'll be a new link if something happens, because what am I supposed to do? I can't just like, poof, you know, make that link work because it no longer exists. So, yeah, I understand about, you know, the work that goes into it, even though it's the end of things. Because even though it's not really work, there are things that I have to do as the host in order to make it come out at least halfway decent. Now, I'm not saying I'm a professional or anything. I'm not. But I do try my best. So hopefully this will help you out a little bit. Like I say, I don't make any promises, but I do know that people listen because I can see, like, who's not who's listening, but how many people are listening live. And then once I have the recorded version, I know how many listens it has because it'll tell me. Like, one, and this is, you might find this interesting or might not, but I had a councilman, I think from New York,
right at this moment. I can't remember exactly where he's from, but he's a city councilman, and he was on talking about the homeless problem, and he's one of my most listened to shows, which is interesting because I'm in the movie section. I just find that amusing. Okay, what else? Getting back to you, because I don't want to just talk through your whole show.
Oh, no. It's good. Like I said, I just want to tell you, like I said, thank you and everything for giving me the opportunity. It's not always about, like, people do think of things like that. Like, you're getting on a podcast, is it going to be the world, everybody hearing it? It's a, like you said, it's just a, really about just the experience and just have a good time. I'm definitely doing that.
Oh, well, good. I'm glad. Well, and you know, some people are, like, nervous, and they'll even tell me, well, I've never done a live show before. And I said, well, really, don't even think of it that way. You're on the air and you're live. It doesn't matter. There's a recorded version. So just think of it that we're doing the recording. And really, once you get talking, you're going to forget that you're live anyway.
Exactly.
And the one guest that I had, he said, yeah, but because it was his first that he had ever done. He had never done any kind of an interview podcast or anything like that. And so he was, like, exceptionally nervous. And I said, well, I'm not trying to toot my own horn, but to be on my show is probably a good start because I'm so laid back. There's no way that you can't feel comfortable on my show. I had a guest that she's, I'm not going to say her name or anything because I didn't ask her if it was okay, but she's a friend and she's pretty famous and she was on my show and I asked her some questions, of course, and then she was giving answers and for one answer, she was like kind of going on for a short while and I don't care. That's what I want people to do. That's what this is. I want people to talk. So she says, oh, I'm sorry. I think I went over the 3-minute limit. And I said, I don't do that. You can talk as long as you want. Because she wasn't used to that. She has done so many of those interviews that she thinks that she has to restrict
There's
all of her answers.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I don't do that. The only thing that I'll do as far as time, somebody is not, like, talking enough, then, or if there's not enough for us to talk about whatever, I might talk a little bit. And, I'm talking now, but it's not really for filler. It's just because we were, you know, jiving good, so I was talking. But sometimes I find stuff to stick in there for filler because sometimes I'll get people on the show that they know they're going to be asked questions, but yet they give like a one-word answer. Like, okay, that's not going to last an hour. So I got to find a way to fill that up. Or the opposite, and I get more of those. Where people want to go on and on and on and on about one thing, and so I'll have to rein them in a little bit. Well, we've only got X amount of time left, so. And one guest I had, he's got like a huge resume, and he's won Academy Awards, and he's one of those that wants to go on and on and on. And I had actually had his show for an hour and a half because need the extra time because of that. But he would go on and on and on. And not that I mind, but I would have to remind him that, yes, I'd like all that and the listeners like it, but we do want to get other stuff in there. And I said it nicely, you know. But he was a good guest, and you're a good guest. And hopefully the people aren't upset that I'm doing a lot of talking.
Oh, no, you're good. Like I said, I appreciate everything. Hey, I'm a good listener, too. I like listening and learning.
Well, I love listening to people talk. And that's why once people get talking, I want them to keep talking. But it just depends on the guest. I go with the flow. So whatever the guest is, like, leaning towards, then that's how I'll go. That's just the way that I work it. And I know that not all hosts do that. But to me, that's how the guest will be comfortable, if you're kind of going the way that they want to go. Because if they want to talk a lot, well, let them talk a lot, you know, within reason. And then if they don't feel like talking, it's not like you can force them. So,
you're right, like you said, go with the flow.
Yeah, and that's exactly what I do. But I love listening to people talk about their experiences and everything, like when you were talking about the Hobo Saves the World. And I'm just bringing that up again because, because I want people to check that out for many reasons. One of them being that it has your music in it since it's your show. So for now, because this is your show, that is, for now, the most important reason, because this is your show. So they should check out that, The Hobo Saves the World, and they can listen to your composed music. Yeah. And listen to your new single. And speaking of podcasts, have you ever thought of doing a podcast?
Honestly, my buddy, he's a producer. He makes beats, and he does a podcast, and he always, like, he messes me all the time. He's like, hey, get on my podcast with me and do some freestyling. I'm like, I got you. I'll get on there, and then he'll, like, randomly, like, message me the next day, like, hey, everybody love that, man. Let's do it again. I'm like, I can't. I'm busy today. But, yeah, I do like that stuff. It's like a it's very exhilarating to me.
Well, you could always start one, and because you don't have to have it live, you can always do a recorded show, or even if you have a live one, like, I mean, I know this is different than, like, having a YouTube podcast or something, you know, where people are actually watching you, but if I'm live on here, it, you know, I'm live, but yet there's a recorded version once it's over. It's not immediate. You have to wait for the audio to come up. But yes, I can do it live. But even on Blog Talk Radio, I can do a recorded version and just do it recorded. I don't have to do it live. I just prefer to do it live because I found out from the people that do the listening that that's what they like. They like the live show.
Yeah, it's different energy, too. I listen to, like, people on the radio and stuff. But when you hear it live, it's different than when you hear uploaded stuff. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Oh, definitely.
That's like me. I never did no podcasting stuff like that, but I just got my new program, Studio One, and it has a podcasting thing on that, like a podcasting trying to think, basically like a program, I guess. I don't know, something you can load up to do the podcast and stuff. It has the video and all that, the audio. You can route your stuff. You can route every, like, your mic into it and all that stuff.
Mm.
I'm going to try it out one day because it looks very professional.
Do well on that. And you might even, like, sing a song for somebody, too.
Yep, thanks.
I mean, why
not?
Don't
mind,
you're,
like,
a musician.
That kind of stuff. I don't mind doing, like, cause people would be like, let me throw in an instrumental and you just rap. I'm like, I don't mind. Like, some people be like, nah, I don't want to do that right now because I don't feel that I'm in the right mood. I just feel like you said about the podcast, just basically let everything come to you and just go with the flow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I do like doing the live shows, and most of the guests like it, too. They say it's different than the ones that they do because they usually don't do them live. But some of my guests have done live interviews before. But I've only had one so far that he had never done any interviews at all. And so I was his first, and he had nice things to say, because he said that he didn't even realize after the first, like, two or three minutes, he forgot that he was on live. And I said, well, yeah, that's what I said. Yeah, because not everybody is comfortable. And
I'm about to say, people don't really understand it and get comfortable until, like you said, so they're not really thinking about it.
Yeah. And I am good at that. And like I said, again, not to toot my own horn, but I'm good at that. I haven't had one complaint ever from any of my guests. And I've even had a couple of difficult guests. And by difficult, I mean that they almost want to be argumentative. And that's not what my show is about. I mean, yes, everybody has their own opinions, and that's fine if they want to discuss something. But I take that the same way as somebody trying to pound their religion down my throat. No, I don't want that, and the people listening don't want that either. So let's take it somewhere else.
You're right about that.
But luckily, I've only had a couple of those. And now the swearing doesn't bother me or anything, but the only thing that I've said to people is, you know, it doesn't bother me. I'm just reminding you that this is a PG-13 show. And if we do too much of that, I could get my show revoked.
Yeah,
because if you want to do an R show, it has to be rated R. And I'm not. I'm rated PG-13. So.
See, I understand that because I get on this this app. It's called Bego. You might have heard of it, Bego.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very PG. It's like if you do anything that's like any type of way that's wrong, it basically like it'll pause you, and then they can ban you. But like you said, if you got good audience and you're not doing nothing wrong, but if they just see something that they didn't like you said, PG, it's supposed to be PG, they'll basically pause you or something like that, and then you can get banned. So like you said, it's just really about respect.
Yeah. And I do have that choice of what I want to rate the show. And I didn't want to rate it R because I wanted kids to be able to listen to it, especially since I've had a couple of kids as guests, child actors. I wanted them to be able to watch, to not watch, but listen to their own show. Yeah, and plus hopefully they wouldn't be swearing anyway, the little kids, but that's one reason why I didn't want to rate the show R, because I wanted any child actors that I might have on the show to be able to listen to their show. So now we're getting down to the last 15 minutes or so, which actually we still have quite a bit of time. But isn't that amazing, though, how
time
fast
flies when you're having fun? That's what they say.
One thing I did want to ask you, and it's just out of curiosity, so have you ever done any live shows?
No, I haven't did no live shows yet, but that's what I'm getting everything in position for. I told you I did my single, so now I can perform my single if I want. But I want to told you to get this video together. I want to get everything together, and then I really want to start performing and doing all that stuff. And I even told Jason, J-Bone, I told him that if he can figure out venues and stuff, you know what I mean, I'll help him, and I'll be part of it. Because, like, you know what I mean? He honestly, like, from the beginning of Hobo Saves the World, like, not the movie, but before they even started the movie, him and Drew, like, we was always talking, and, like, we was all, like, at a spot where we was, like, you know what I mean? We was, like, down. But everything going on now, you know what I mean? So we uplifted now. Like I said, they got the Hobo Saves the World. I was on the soundtrack. I got the, they got to do, yeah, I think about it. Drew's doing her thing. J-Bone's doing his thing. I'm still doing my thing with my music. And it's just like everything's working out. It's just we really basically we figured a way to work together and build up chemistry. So it's like anything I do now, I feel like I want to give them parts of it because they helped me out and I want to help them out at the same time.
Aww. And that is the way that it should be. It's not always that way in the music business or the movie business. You give somebody a break, but they won't give you one.
Yep.
Or they steal something from you. You know, you write something and you think that they're your friends and then you find out that they stole your song or your movie or whatever, because that's done all the time. And that's why that's why so many people won't share stuff with their friends, even like just the idea, because people will take the idea and use it.
And people will constructive criticism in so many different ways, though. You know what I mean? Even your friends and family. So sometimes when you keep stuff like that, not even as a secret, just as something that you're conquesting. You know what I mean? You're working hard to do. When you tell people, it seems like just like it is like gets destroyed in a way.
Yeah. Well, and that's
so
one reason why. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Oh, no, you're good. I was just going to say, basically, when you stay focused and everything, you know that when it's right, the right time and everything. And you know when you don't tell people things anymore because you learn from them experiences. People stealing your stuff. People telling you it's not good. People telling you. It's just like, it's just any negative energy to basically to channel your energy.
Yeah. Oh, And that really works for anything, whether musician or filmmaker or whatever, or even just actually day-to-day life. Because when I was younger, I used to get bothered by a lot of stuff. 'Cause you know how kids are real mean to each other. And they make fun of people, and I got made fun of a lot. Cry. And the only thing that did for me, and I still wouldn't subject kids to that for that reason, because that's how some parents are, oh, well, it'll toughen you up. There are other ways to get people to toughen up besides let people make fun of them. I would never let somebody make fun of my kids, ever. But there are a lot of parents that would. But I had it so much that by the time I got older, I was like, I don't even care about that anymore. And now that I'm 63, I couldn't care less what anybody thinks about me. I really don't care. You don't like me? Fine. You don't like what I have to say on Facebook? Yeah. No, nobody told you to read what I wrote on Facebook. I know you got to read it first to find out whether you like it or not, but you know, there's lots of things I read on Facebook that I don't like, and you know what I do? I move on.
Yeah,
I don't write
exactly.
Nasty
That's all
stuff.
You can. You don't sit there and try to make no bad comments about something that, like you said, you could have just went right past and just went on with your day.
Yeah.
Some people love that negative energy.
Oh, yeah. They live for that.
Mm-hmm.
I'll just tell you one short little thing from when I was sometime in my 40s, and you know, which to a lot of people that's old, but I was standing in line at a grocery store, and there was a group of 20-something boys behind me, and one of them says, "Hey, lady," and I turned around. He said, "You got a big butt." So I said, without missing a beat,
I smiled this really great big grin, and I said, well, you must love, like big butts or you wouldn't be looking at mine. And the
whole place
started laughing. Everybody was laughing at him, not at me, because he got cool.
You know this? It's your confidence, though. You was confident. You was like, oh, shoot, you're not saying it. He wasn't saying it in the wrong way, and you knew it.
And actually, that's true. If you don't like big butts, what are you looking at them for?
Yeah, why are you making a comment? You're right about that. That's a fact.
Man, he got so mad about it that he stomped out like a 12-year-old instead of a 20-year-old. And I'm going to the truck. Oh, I'm sorry. I shouldn't be taking up the time with that stuff. But
oh no, no,
and we were
good.
Talking.
That was great. That's a little humor, a little laughter.
Yeah, but I haven't always been confident. Most of the time, I was self-confident. I'm getting all mixed up now with my words, but self-conscious is what I was trying to say. I was always self-conscious, mainly because kids were always making fun of me. My own father was making fun of me. Well, he made fun of all of his kids because he was a terrible person. But, I had it coming from all angles. So I was like, But then when I got older, I'm like, I don't care.
Honestly, that's how it was for me. I don't care. One thing about when I was young, I was like, dang. It was like, anybody say anything about you, it was like offensive and you would like get mad. But now when you're older, you're just like, when you think about that, you're like, I'm not worrying about that. I shouldn't even worry about that when I was younger.
Yeah. But when you're young and you're naive, you don't.
Like you say, young
think
and dumb.
You,
yep.
Yeah.
You don't think
exactly.
About things, you just do them. You just do them. And then after you do them, you learn from your mistakes.
Yeah. Yeah, the only thing that I remember as far as, like, I didn't really stick up for myself when I was a kid, but I always stuck up for other people. I remember doing that as a kid. When other kids were getting picked on, I would stick up for them, even to the point of fighting with the bullies and knocking them on their butt because they were making fun of somebody else or even worse, doing bad stuff to them. I mean, it's pretty bad when you got somebody that's in a wheelchair, and the guy in the wheelchair didn't do anything. But this was in school because we had special needs kids going to our school too, as well as us. And one was in a wheelchair, and he had his books in his lap, came along, and just took his books out of his lap and threw them all over the floor.
Dude,
and then
wrong.
When he started, and then when he started yelling at him, they threatened to throw him out of his wheelchair. And so I went right over there, and there is, a group of them. I just said, look, if you're going to try to throw him out of the wheelchair, you're going to have to go through me first. And they said, well, we could take you in about 5 seconds. And I said, well, I'm not as measly as I look. I don't look very threatening, but my dad taught me to fight to the death if I ever get into a fight. So that's why you don't really want to get in a fight with me, because I fight to the death. And just like how bullies are, they left. They were afraid to fight me.
You intimidated them with that word, death.
Yeah. And then I picked up his, and it's actually true. It wasn't something that I just made up out of, the top of my head. That's actually true. My dad said, if you ever get in a fight, fight to the death. Because he was in the Army, and he ended up being a captain, and he was in World War II, and, that was just part of his personality, of soldier personality. That, if you've got to fight, fight to the death. Unless they beg for mercy, then you stop. But if they want to fight you and they don't stop and don't beg for mercy, then just fight them to the death. Don't play around.
Yeah, you keep fighting. Yeah.
And so he really did teach me that.
And as bad as he was, that really is the only good thing that he ever did, really.
And it sounds terrible, but that actually saved me from getting bullied.
Yeah,
and that doesn't mean that I never had.
Understand that stuff.
Yeah.
They don't understand that.
It doesn't mean I didn't get bullied. Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No. You go ahead and say what you were going to say.
No, I really was done. So you go ahead.
Basically, I was just saying, like, dang, you got me off of that conversation. But basically saying about the bullies and stuff, you know what I mean? You gotta be a bully to tame a bully. Not saying you got to do what a bully does, but you know what I mean? You got to just intimidate them. That's all a bully is, an intimidator. All you do is try to intimidate you.
Yeah. And just, you know, talking nice and sitting down and talking and blah, blah, blah. I mean, yeah, that may work every once in a great while, but my experience with bullies, talking nice
to
them does nothing at all.
That's what I said. You got to get to the
point. Most of them, it'll make it work.
You know.
Mm-hmm. Well, we're getting close to being out of time, so we've got like a little over 2.5 minutes. So I wanted to give you a chance if there's anything that you want to say, and it could be about just about anything in the last 2.5 minutes, you go ahead and have at it.
Oh, you're good. I just wanted to say thank you for the experience and everything, Mac, and appreciate the good energy, and thanks for letting me shout out my new single and all my basically my email, my IGs, my social medias, and all stuff like that, and just basically appreciate everything that you do.
Oh, well, thank you, and I'm glad that you didn't get offended or angry at me talking a lot. Sometimes I do. I just talk because it is a talk show. So.
Yeah,
but
I honestly hearing other people's stories.
At least I do give the guest a chance to talk, so it's not like it's just me talking. At least I try not to have it be that. Okay.
Even though, like you said, it was my show, still, you know what I mean, you're the host, so basically you got to get everything going, you know what I mean? So like I said, it's cool.
Yeah.
When you're talking, it's giving me more intake and everything to learn about what about you, basically, and about the podcast and everything.
Yeah.
I definitely want to get another chance to get on the podcast and hopefully have my new video out and be able to promote that. And I got a lot of stuff up the sleeve. It's just like I told you earlier, I know that patience is the key, so I just be patient.
Mm-hmm.
Some people will be like, well, it can happen the next day. In my mind, I'm like, it can happen the next year. I'll wait. I'll still push, you know what I mean? Push and do everything I can, but like I said, I understand patience is the key.
It is. And I think you'll go far, and I am going to have to close out the show because Blog Talk Radio will cut people off in the middle of a sentence if they go over.
So thank you very much for being on the show. Yep, thank you too, and you have a great night. And like I said, whenever I can get another chance to get a link and be able to get back on the podcast, I will definitely take that opportunity.
Oh, thank you. Okay, thanks again, and have a good night. Bye.
Yep, you too.
Bye.